Well, we're back again, and man, am I excited. One of our favorite things is our music, our arts. We have world-class arts, music, crafts, and today we're going to be talking, I'm hoping I'll be listening, that's going to be hard, with Tommy Lee. Tommy, I'm going to say one of the grandfathers of this type stuff, but you're not that old, but we're going to talk about that. We have an active, vibrant music scene in this part of the country, obviously, and with Nashville. And you've been a leader in this, and we're seeing it explode, really, an opportunity to even do more. So welcome to the show. This is all about you, and we got a little special treat for our listeners here toward the end of our show, but welcome.
Thank you, George. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words. I don't know if grandfather's the word
I'd use. Grandfather's 2-0. It's 2-0. It's 2-0.
For that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's been a long, great trip in the live music business here in Cookeville and the surrounding areas for me, and I'm grateful to come on here and talk to you about it today.
Yeah, well, you said off-air a while ago before we started, 20-plus years ago, you're still a regular, but you were out – probably every weekend, every time. I mean, you were one of the leaders in the what we call the early days of what we're seeing blossoming today, especially our West Side, Livingston, different venues all over the Upper Cumberland, but certainly in the Highlands. So you've been around a little while.
Yeah, from about 2004 to 2014, for about a 10-year stretch,
yep.
It was hard to go anywhere in Putnam County or Overton County without seeing the Tommy Lee Show somewhere.
That's right.
Live.
That's right.
At least once a week, sometimes twice a week.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment, but this is a show like Billy Graham. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? It's about who. It's about you. So let's start with age birth, and you just tell me anything you want to talk about, growing up, friends, whatever you want to talk, passions, how you got in music, influences in your life, and we'll go. Just don't spend too much time in high school,
but we're gonna be, absolutely.
But let's just start there. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born in Livingston, Tennessee,
okay.
To Bruce and Christine Lee,
mm-hmm.
And got a brother, Michael Lee, and we lived right outside the city limits of Livingston. Growing up was great. You know, had hardworking parents, and they taught us, you know, how to work hard ourselves. And
sure.
Early on in life, my mother comes from a very musical family.
Wow.
Only 8 brothers and sisters. And so between them and my grandmother and my grandfather, they would travel around to the churches in the area, and they would all sing.
So this was your heritage. I mean, this is your environment.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think so, you know. Yeah. So, you know, my mom wanted me to learn piano at an
wow.
early age. And
sure.
So I started taking lessons, didn't really stick, and I kind of gave up on it, and I thought that my music was in the past. I discovered baseball, and so that became a lot more important than learning to play piano, and so I kind of gave up on it.
Sports got to be big.
Absolutely.
Sure, that's normal, really.
And so growing up, it was baseball, baseball, baseball. Occasionally, go work with the cows with my dad, because that's he's a farmer, and so, you know, it was either playing baseball or working with the cattle as a young kid. But one story that I like to tell, and it's very influential with my music, is the day that I discovered MTV, when our house first got MTV. I stayed in front of the TV for 8 hours a day, constantly watching videos, because that's the only way that you could get the latest music.
At that time.
At that time.
At that, you're exactly right.
And MTV played everything. They played all genres of music, which is very important. They played pop. They played classic rock. They played hard rock. They played rap. They played top 40. They played all the stuff.
So you got a good dose of all of that.
Absolutely. As a kid, it was Bruce Springsteen and ZZ Top and Def Leppard and Madonna and Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that was popular at the time. And so MTV was very important to me. And people say that they call me a human jukebox because I know so many songs.
different genres.
Yeah, and they asked me, you know, how do you remember all these songs? And I said, well, it's because for about 6 years, I spent 8 hours a day in front of a TV watching music videos over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And so that was very instrumental, no pun intended there, in my life.
No, sure.
When it comes to my musical career. But another thing that I always like to talk about is the first time I ever heard Eddie Van Halen play the guitar. I saw that on MTV. I saw what he could do.
You were hooked, right?
And I said, I want to do that.
Man.
Now, I have not even come close to the kind of talent that he is, or he was. And when I saw him do that, I realized right then and there that I needed to be able to do that someday. And while there was a big space between seeing him play and actually, you know, learning to play the guitar and getting up on stage,
but it gave you a
very pivotal moment in my life.
Gave you a glimpse of the future.
Yeah.
Your future you hoped.
Yeah. So I put music away, mm-hmm. focused on sports, played baseball and football in mm-hmm. high school, and had a great time there at Livingston Academy. And then, you know, graduated, went to Tech, and here is kind of where the musical journey picks back up.
Okay.
Was when I was at Tech. I was Tennessee Tech. I was a member of the Alpha Tau Omega fraternity.
ATO, sure.
Yeah, I was an ATO, and I had this fraternity brother of mine named Jacob Carwile, and this was around 1995 or 96 when this happened.
Okay.
And so I noticed that when we would have parties, Jake would bring out his guitar, and he'd sit down and start playing, and everybody would kind of stop what they were doing and gather around him.
Especially the girls.
Well.
I mean, I know, but I had to throw that in.
Absolutely.
If you were a sports guy and a guitarist, whoa, you had the whole deal. Yeah.
Well, the sports guy kind of left at that part. At that point, and I really wanted to learn how to play guitar. And one night, you know, we had a party, Jacob wasn't around, and there was this void, and I was like, that void needs to be filled. And if Jake's not going to be
here, then here I am.
I need to pick up that slack for him. So I went up and asked him. I said, you know, can you teach me how to play guitar? And he said, why, sure.
Wow.
And if he would have known what was going to come in the next year to 18 months, he would have never agreed to that because that was
a defining moment.
It was an absolute defining moment. And I knocked on his door every day, seemed like. Yeah. Said, hey, can you teach me some stuff?
Oh, man.
And sometimes he'd say, no, buzz off.
Yeah.
But most of the time he would say, no, come in. And he'd show me a couple things, 10, 15 minutes. And so that's kind of how I got started, but I didn't have a guitar of my own. So we had another guy who lived in the house whose name is Jason Wyatt, who a lot of people know by Manute.
Manute.
Yeah. Okay. And so he had a 5-string guitar. It wasn't even a 6-string guitar. And so I would borrow that guitar from him and pluck around on it in my formative years of learning to play guitar until I got my own, which ironically, coming full circle, was bought by my mother. Started teaching me on the piano, and then
here we go.
She bought me my first guitar, and so it was off and running. After that, I was starting to play for my friends. Nothing
just grew, right?
Just whenever we'd have a
get together,
go to the lake, go camp, whatever.
Pull out the guitar.
That's right. Yeah. And so that was a lot of fun, and of course, I wasn't getting paid to do it then, so it was really a lot of fun. Because when you get paid, it's when you start working.
I understand
that was a lot of fun. And so a lot of years passed, and I just happened to be in Nashville one night, and they had an opening that the musician didn't show up or whatever. And they said, hey, anybody in here play? And I'll never forget it. It was a place called The Second Fiddle on Broadway.
Second Fiddle,
yeah.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, sure, I play. So I got up there, and I played two songs. I played two songs that I know by heart. I played Margaritaville
Jimmy
by
Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett and I played Merle Haggard, Working Man's Blues. Two songs that I know like the back of my hand. And I got up there, and I completely tanked. It was so bad.
Too much
pressure.
I was
so nervous.
Yeah.
And it was really an eye-opening experience because it's like, you know, you can sit on the sidelines
in the
and
real
practice
live
and,
music.
And when the real bullets start flying, you know.
You're playing with people you don't know.
It was, I mean, my hand was shaking. My voice was cracking. It was really an eye-opening experience, like I said. And so I vowed. I was like, if I ever get this chance again, I'm going to
nail it. I understand. Yeah.
And so that was probably around 2000 and when that happened in Nashville. And so fast forward a few years later, it's around 2002, 2003. This place called the Obscure.
1 minute.
This place called the Obscure Cafe, which is located near Crestlawn Funeral Home on Jackson over there. It's where I believe El Rey Mexican Restaurant is now. And they started having open mic nights. And I played a few. And then after I played a few, they asked me to start hosting. And so that's kind of another pivotal moment that, you know, we'll get into how that springboarded my career after I started hosting those open mic nights.
But there's so much here, what we're talking about, to people out there, no matter what you're doing, meeting people, relationships, by chance, you've took advantage of an opportunity that was afforded you. What if you hadn't had a friend that played a guitar? So it's a that's the way life happens, doesn't it? It comes at you, and just be prepared. I'm excited already. We're going to learn more about you and your music. George Hofford with Tommy Lee. Be right back. Tommy, we're back, and I can't wait to start hearing Paul Harvey, you say the rest of the story, which hadn't been written yet totally. Yeah, that's another thing. Let's pick up where we left off. You learned to play the guitar. You did not have a good first experience in Nashville, but you rebounded, of course, and your mother. And let's start out with that heritage thing. I love to. This is one thing that impressed Gloria. Now we moved here. The musical heritage of families. Music is part of our lives, more so than any place I've ever lived. So you've experienced that firsthand, and it's blossomed for you. So anything else on that?
Well, I mean, if you're just talking about the history and the heritage of music in this area, I go back to when I first moved to Cookeville, and there just weren't, and this is the mid-90s, Liquor by the Drink had just been...
We did not have venues.
Introduced, and so there weren't very many venues. And the venues that we did have, they were more focused on playing house music or having DJs there. And so in the 90s, when I went to school at Tech, you didn't have much live music. You did have... Now, you talk about grandfather or godfather, you did have Jeff Crouch who was running around.
That's right.
Playing everywhere.
But you didn't have the numbers.
That's correct. No, it the scene really didn't get started until the mid-2000s,
I was thinking.
And for me, in the mid-2000s, as I was talking earlier, you know, I was just gotten this gig to host open mic night at the Obscure Cafe, and it was getting ready to close down, and a good friend of mine, an old friend named Steve Jones, who is the general manager over at Spanky's.
Yeah, sure.
He had asked me if I would like to start playing on Tuesday nights.
So you got a regular gig. When people weren't doing that, is that?
And so we started out with myself, my friends Seth Johnson, Tim Dennis, and Spencer Huffhines, and we started playing every other Tuesday night at Spanky's, and this was February 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started building quite the following on Tuesday nights to where we were every Tuesday night.
So people began to notice that, and that was sort of the beginning of the modern era?
Well, I would...
back then it was another leap forward.
Yeah, and I would like to think that along with... you know, our friend Chris Raines, who has been doing this for ever.
He's been involved. But there weren't
many
of y'all.
No, not at that point. But that scene rapidly started to grow back in the mid-2000s, where you might have had one or two local music venues. You had the resurgence in Cookeville's West Side, which also was huge in
entertainment
that.
Entertainment district, yes. Miniature Nashville entertainment. I mean, that's stretching it, but yes.
Yeah, and so you would have places like Crawdaddy's and Seven Senses.
Yep.
Vinny T's got into the live music business. Several other venues.
Of course, you had Spanky's. And you had others started opening up. I was sharing with you, my wife and I, we had a big group. We just, one weekend we'd go hear you sing somewhere. Next weekend we'd go to another for dinner and hear somebody else. It was a heck of a vibrant restart.
Yeah, and so I certainly wouldn't say that we're the reason for it, I would like to think that, you know, we were involved kind of at the ground floor, you know,
yeah, you
when
were
it was
when
really
the,
starting to take
the
off.
The Renaissance began.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Early on, for sure, yeah. So that was really important, and that was, I said from 2004 to 2014, I was heavily active in the music, the music scene down here in Cookeville.
While you had a family and you had a full-time job.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. So our Tuesday night run at Spanky's came to an end the day my first child was born.
I understand. Changes.
Yeah, and I met my beautiful wife, Allison, few years into that, and then we had our first child in 2010. And
wow,
so,
okay.
And then welcomed our second daughter in 2011, our second daughter, Charlie. And so...
Life took on a whole
because
positive turn.
When you're playing at Spanky's and the gig ends at 2 a.m. and you get home at 3.
And you got to be at work the next morning.
Or the baby gets up.
Or the baby gets up at 4.
Doesn't matter what time you go to bed.
That's right. So, babies don't have hours.
after about 2014, after a 10-year solid run of just constantly playing out, I decided that I was going to take a step back and still play out, once a month or once every 6 weeks.
So that explains why I didn't see you as much as I did the first few years, several years we were here. You'd taken on new responsibilities.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it sure did.
So tell me about your kids. What's going on with them, your wife? Where are they? What are they doing?
Yeah, glad to. So first and foremost, I'm a husband and a father. And
that's great.
I was very lucky to meet my beautiful wife, Allison. She's a Cookeville native, she works at First National Bank here.
Yeah, she does.
And I have three daughters, Taylor Grace, who is a freshman at Livingston Academy.
Okay.
Charlie Beth, who is a seventh grader at Rickman Elementary, and Anna Christine, who is a first grader also at Rickman.
So we know what you do in your spare time.
Yeah.
You're doing all this, the traveling stuff, the family, the co-op play, everything. You're right in the middle of it.
Right now, right in the middle of middle school basketball season.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a
game 3 nights a week. And,
but it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. So we have fun with our kids, for sure.
And, of course, with the good Lord's will and health and everything, you can resume some of this stuff later on, maybe more than you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, I have kind of picked it up more over the last few years, and that's due to a live music scene in my hometown in Livingston.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah,
It's the Livingston, Hawkeyes, is that it?
Yeah, well, we're the Wildcats, Hawkeyes is our battle.
I mean, a lot of our leadership in the Chamber, the Highlands, your development district. I want to spend some time on that in a moment. But our Livingston leaders, the mayor, Curtis, retired finally, elected by, 90% of the vote for years and years. What a great guy.
Yeah, I want to say he got 18 years in as mayor.
I think he did.
Which is unheard of. We got a new mayor now, Lori Burnett.
Yep, and he's doing a great job. Yeah,
yeah, like working with her, and so in the city, we've got three or four places that you can go hear live music on.
And I love the downtown, the new venue, the park.
Yeah, and great story about that. I was the first act to ever play in the Central Park.
Oh, man. And you're a local native.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Well, and I'll say that I played the opening ceremony.
But that's so great, man. That's memories.
Yeah, and opened for Aaron Tippin and Confederate Railroad at that point.
Oh,
so it's great.
I get chill bumps when you're saying
it's great playing in front of my hometown. There's nothing like that.
Well, you've got a heritage and a present. You've also got a heck of a future. And, you know, we're entering the second segment. We may have to do several of these shows to get it all in because I'm just pumped up listening to you because I love this community, this region, the music, the arts, the friends that we made, and it's great. And we're thank you for sharing what you're doing. And we're going to come back in just a moment with where are you going? What's going on in the future? What are you looking at? And talk about Cookeville and Putnam County and the Highlands and the Upper Cumberland of Tennessee's future and all this live music, the things that we still dream about. Back soon. Well, we're back. Tommy Lee, I won't call you one of the grandfathers like I did a while ago of our music scene, but you are one of the leaders and one of the founding resurgents of our evolution as a major area. So let's pick up where we left off, Tommy, and just talk about today with our West, not just West Side. You mentioned Livingston. There are other venues. You mentioned there's Sparta with the brewery, and they've got things. So we're beginning to see entertainment and music really expand in our region. So let's see, what are you seeing today? And then we'll talk about what we see in the future. And then we've got a little surprise for our audience in just a little while.
So one of the things that I'm seeing, George, and it's really indicative of this area, is the amount of talent that's out there.
Oh, yes.
It's
mind-boggling.
For this area, it is unbelievable. And I'll just give you a little example. We do a little Friday night get-together with just some close friends. And, I mean, it's as good as anything you'll hear in Nashville.
Yeah.
The collective of just going around and singing songs. But it's record quality stuff that you're getting out of a living room.
Yeah.
You know, and so the amount of talent is amazing. And so how do you get that talent and, you know, take it to the next level? And you need venues for that. You need.
That's right.
You need platforms for those people to be able to showcase their talents. And you need investment from people, you know, to pay the folks. So, I mean, investment in the venues and investment in paying the talent to come and perform, because it has been proven, you know, if you provide that good product, people will pay for it and people will come see
it.
And so, you know, investment is going to be very key, and that can be investment from cities and counties or private individuals.
It could be the private sector. It could be the Highlands as an economic development initiative. It could be it's an incubator type thing. It's where we provide that incubation for whatever it is we need to do. And it's Nashville. And also, Nash is a guy getting a little really long in the tooth right now. Gloria and I don't go to Nashville like we used to. You know, it's just to be able to have Nashville world-class quality music, arts, crafts, but music right now, right here in our hometown, in our home region. That's great. And we don't know how good we are.
Well, you don't.
We don't know how good we are.
That's absolutely correct, because you don't know about the collection of talent in this area until you go other places and see what they have. And this, no disrespect.
No,
it's not putting them down, it's putting us up, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, just for example, I was in Ohio not too long ago, saw some live music there, and while it was fine, it's nothing compared to what we have here.
Yeah. You said something earlier. I know in other places I've lived and grew up, a bunch of guys get together. We didn't break out a guitar and play. We'd do other things, but around here, playing guitar, singing, it's just part of what we do. as a group of people. So I think the future's bright, and we need to let me tell one story because I already talked too much, and I shared it off air, and you remember when we put together the Highlands Regional Economic Development Program, four counties and working regionally, we hired a internationally known industrial consultant, site consultant, that out of New Jersey. It works with the Fortune 500, one-third of the Fortune. And we thought we were going to get a study back that said it ought to be a cybersecurity or autos or whatever. And the guy came back, and I've still got the outline report we do, Chamber has. It said, basically, you have world-class arts, music, and crafts. You don't know it, but you do. He said, you are already a miniature Asheville, North Carolina, or even a Nashville, Tennessee, but you don't know it. And, you know, once you market that thing, that's who you can become. Now, I'm not talking about the negative aspects of a more progressive city, but I'm talking about the music heritage. And it's true. We're here. So that leads into where are we going? Do you see us continuing to grow in this music business? A niche, an incubation, if you will.
Well, George, I do to an extent. I think like most things, it's going to be cyclical, especially here in Cookeville. I'd say there will probably come a day where the live music, you know, declines in popularity.
Yep.
And the
then
and,
it comes
and
back.
The DJ so, and house music will pick back up, but it will all come full circle. But do I think that the live music will ever go away? No, I do not.
Play the long game.
Absolutely.
That's what we're doing.
That's right.
Speaking of playing, man, I'm excited. I'm getting chill bumps. We're going to have a little treat for our listening audience. Tommy Lee, you're on. We're going to put you on, perform, do what you want to do, and we're live right here. We will be live.
Well, thank you, George. So
play a little music for us.
I was really when I got the call yesterday that I was going to come on, I really struggled with what I was going to do because there's so many types of music that I do, so many songs that I play. And so I chose a song by a West Texas singer-songwriter named Adam Hood, and he wrote a song a few years ago about the current state of country music and what he's seeing in videos and hearing on the radio. And it's called I'll Sing About Mine. In my hometown, population just a few thousand. All of those kids at the drive-in after Friday night's football game. That's the same place my mom and dad went on their first date. They had the same burger I just ate. Man, some things never change. That's what made me who I am today. Gave me a million songs to play when the radio's on. I just don't understand. 'Cause a tractor ain't sexy and working is hard for small town people like me. And the radio's full of rich folks singing about places they never seen. Now I ain't saying their life ain't hard, I'd love to hear about it sometime. But they can sing about their own life, and I'll sing about mine. Complaining, running my mouth like an old man who's talking about the world that's changing or how it's giving up on me. And I'm just saying, down at Nick's on the weekend, the small town anthems they're singing don't sound like what you see. When you talk about the Dairy Queen, pickup trucks and Springsteen, it makes the place I love sound like a bad cartoon. 'Cause a tractor ain't sexy and working is hard for small town people like me. And the radio's full of rich folks singing about places they never seen. Now I ain't saying their life ain't hard, I'd love to hear about it sometime. And they can sing about their own life, and I'll sing about mine. If you want a song about a place like my hometown, take a weekend and come on down. It won't take long to see, 'cause a tractor ain't sexy and working is hard for small town people like me. Radio's full of rich folks singing about places they never seen. Now I ain't saying their life ain't hard, I'd love to hear about it sometime. Let them sing about their own life, and I'll sing about mine. They can sing about their own life, and I'll sing about mine.
Wow, wow, wow. And all God's children said amen. Tommy, that is just top of the line. You were sharing offline. I'm not wishing our lives away, but your children will grow up, we know, we hope, and God willing. And right now, let's do a little commercial. Where are you playing now? You mentioned a couple of things off air.
Yeah, so great timing for this. I'm playing this Saturday at Bar on the Green. That's this Saturday, November 23rd, Bar on the Green at Bell Acres with my 90s.
Bell Acres?
Yeah, with my 90s cover band, the Spin Blossoms. We do all 90s the time. And actually, this is our very first show. So come out if you want to see a lot of mistakes but hear a lot of good music. Yeah, it's at 9 o'clock, Saturday, November 23rd, Bar on the Green. And then I play every other third Friday at the Steel Coop in Livingston. So my next – I just finished my November show, and then I've got a show in January. So third Friday in January, 7:30 p.m., Steel Coop, Livingston, Tennessee.
Perfect timing, Tommy. They're going to hear more from you and us, and God bless you, my friend. Full speed ahead.
Yeah, thank you, George. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been
we'll do
an
it
absolute
again.
Pleasure. Yes,
that's
sir.
That's it. Next time, folks. Bye.